small Linux distribution for embedded system, and the difference between this distro and other small is it's based on Debian. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So I'm giving this talk twice today, so if anybody is missing an important talk right now, I'm also doing this at 3 o'clock, so in the embedded room. So, today I'm going to explain what we're doing with SLIND and what it's about and how it works. And I'm going to show you a demo because I brought a little target with me. And yeah, we'll just see what happens.
Splitter?
Yeah. You mean a this?
Yep. Because I will need it. Can we just pause a little?
Oh. When I'm ready, then I'll be ready. Today you can even take SLIND home with you, in case you have any embedded devices lying around that you want to play with. My name is Ben Koller. I work at Siemens in Munich. I've been there a couple years. I work on the Linux team at Central Technology. I want to give you a little bit of background about who we are and what we do so that it makes sense why we're building another distribution. I work in a central division called Corporate Technology, and we are essentially consultants for the rest of Siemens. So there's big divisions of Siemens like medical and communications and things, and they all build devices, right? Medical builds magnetic resin images, machines, and comm builds everything for communications. So they all build their own boards, and we help them. Basically, a lot of them are interested in Linux, and then they come to us and say, help me, and my team helps them do stuff. Depends on what they need. It could be integration, or it could be device drivers, or porting the kernel to a new board, or helping them just understand what Linux is about. And we do a lot of licensing issues, and so from Linux top to bottom, open source top to bottom, that's what we do. So we've built a distribution That's called SLIND. Some people say that means Siemens Linux is not Debian. That's not official. Officially, it means nothing at all, and it's just SLIND. We've been working on this for about a year. This is what I'm going to basically talk about today. I'll give you an overview of the distribution, and I will give you an overview of how the installation works with SLIND. Then I will discuss a little bit about package management on target. I'll talk about the host development environment, the SLIND development process. Then we'll just conclude and blah blah, and you can ask questions. I'm not really a Debian user, sorry, but it works anyway. Even on my system, running Gentoo here, I use Debian when I have to, and I don't when I don't have to, so just life. But I don't have anything against Debian, no worries. But if you have any really complicated Debian questions, then I might not know the answer. Fortunately, the main developer of SLIND is actually a Debian maintainer, and he's waiting, ready, on IRC in case you have any complicated questions. The main developer is Vartan Karkchov. I don't know if you know him, and we have he's in St. Petersburg. And we have a couple other developers in St. Petersburg who are the main developers for this, but they couldn't fly here, and I could, so here I am. So, just a little bit more background info. Why yet another Linux distribution? There are plenty. There are lots of choices, and none of them were really the right choice for us. So we did it ourselves. The context is, essentially, it's Siemens. And like I said before, we make a lot of boards. Lots and lots of different boards that do lots and lots of different things. We write our own applications. I mean, it's a huge company, right? 400,000 people approximately, and there's like 30,000 software developers there. And those are all just writing all sorts of software. And they need a platform that they can base their software on. So for years and years, we've been using lots of different platforms. We use VxWorks and whatever else you want. And since the last 5-7 years, a lot of the business units have been asking about Linux. When I say customers in this talk, by the way, I generally mean Siemens internal customers, because I'm a consultant inside Siemens. So my customers, like I said, is Cobb Medical, and that's what I mean when I say customers. So anyway, customers, they make boards and big machines and small machines, and these are very specific. They have specific hardware on them. Specific device drivers have to be written and all of this. And like I said, they're interested in Linux because, it's stable, free, wonderful, doesn't cost as much as VxWorks and such, and it's a nice thing to have. So what they need generally is a really simple system that's got nearly nothing on it. You can boot it up, you get a prompt, and then they can do something with it. Maybe they can run an application on top of it. Maybe they just want to make a router, so they're just going to use the firewall tools that are already there. But what they basically need is a really low-level, simple, small system. And this is the main goal of what SLIND is. It says small and as simple as possible, upon which the customers can write their applications and they can experiment and play with Linux. A lot of the customers, they have a product already that runs on, for instance, VxWorks, and they want to know, can I make this run on Linux? Or is it worth my time? So they'll come to us and say, please port this to Linux and show us how it works and show us how long that took. And so we, in all of Siemens, we need a Linux distribution. And we need it to be maintained internally so that we can keep control of what we need and make sure that it does what we need. But at the same time, it's obviously open source, and we're going to share this with you and share our efforts with you. So that was the background of why we're doing it. Here's an overview of the goals. We want to be able to support a wide range of architectures because, once again, Siemens is massive, and every business unit does it differently. Every business unit uses their own chips that they like and their own boards that they like. So we need to be able to support quite a lot of architectures and quite a lot of configurations. We need to make sure that there's some prepackaged software available. The base packages is basically all we need. After that, for each customer individually, we can make special packages, or we can show them how to do that. And this is one of the reasons we're basing it on Debian, because the packaging system is pretty sweet. So that's why we're using it. We want there definitely to be high consistency when we're talking about interdependencies between packages. And again, this is one of the benefits of using Debian and the dpackage system. We certainly have to worry about legal cleanliness, because it's pretty easy to make mistakes with GPL and other interesting licenses like these. So we want to make sure that the packages that we offer to the customer to build their system are legally clean, and not going to make a big problem for them 2 years from now when they release it. So we want to make sure that it's clean and expandable and safe for them to use.
Can I interrupt?
Please.
Does this mean that you don't package GPL software?
We will package GPL software, but we will also inform them and give them training about how they need to use it right. It's actually really important, because a lot of the engineers and developers, they don't read licenses like a lot of people. So they just sometimes package it wrong or use it wrong. And we will offer that as a package, but we'll definitely say, you have to be careful how you use this, or you have to be aware of how you use this. We have a day-long training about GPL for the different business units, so that they do it right. Because, I mean, as you guys know, it's happened before at Siemens that they've done it wrong, and the NetFilter team took us to court, and the court said, don't do that. And so we fixed it, and it's kind of a constant battle when you're talking about a massive company. It's hard to educate all of them at once, but we're doing our best, and we want to give them a platform that's going to make it possible for them to do it right. Obviously, the goal is that the distribution should be small. We're not talking embedded. That should just be pretty self-evident. And the distribution needs to be easy to use at different levels. It needs to be easy. It needs to be a good Linux system that has everything you would need for a development system, right? Or a target system. And the host side has to be easy to use. It needs to be pretty easy to build new packages or to port a package into the system. It needs to be pretty easy to build a root file system that's going to run on this target they can configure and customize to their liking. It needs to be easy to upgrade the target system. In the field especially, this is wonderful if you can upgrade the target system without having to ask the end customer, please send me the board back and I'll reinstall it. But that's no good. So in the field itself, it has to be able to be upgradable. And once again, this is why we chose Debian, because you'll find out later. Okay, so those are the general goals that our system has. So let's jump straight to what is different about Slend, as opposed to your just basic Debian system that you chop down. We have hacked a lot of stuff. Largely, we've hacked the dpackage system and the dpackage family so that we can achieve our goals. And I'll go through some of those hacks in a bit. But at a basic level, we have different core packages. We provide BusyBox as a core package, or we provide CoreUnis. And we had to hack a little bit of the dpackage system in order to allow that. And essentially, we made it so that the core packages are providing virtuals so that they can be resolved by either the BusyBox or the CoreUnis package. And that was the major part of that. So when we're installing Slend, we get to choose if we want to have a BusyBox-based system or a CoreUnis-based system. And this will make a big difference in size, because a BusyBox-based system is about 2 megabytes, and a CoreUnis-based is about 10. And that's a pretty big difference for an embedded system. It's important for us. All right. the second big change we made is that we've enabled UC libc as the base libraries, libc libraries. And during the installation, you can choose if you want to have a glibc-based system or microlibc-based system. We had to hack a lot of the dpackage family in order to make that happy. And this basically means that we added new architectures. So the architectures you have now, like you say PowerPC or x86, this is still the same name, and that means glibc architecture. And then we take the same name like PowerPC and put uclibc on the end, and that's actually a separate architecture according to Debian. Okay, and so every CPU architecture actually has two architectures in our systems. Is that clear so far? Good. Mm-hmm. Like I said already, is we've changed the dpackage family to enable this. And we had to change a lot of packages for handling cross-compiling cleanly. There are no kernels in our SLIM system. It's not a package available for download or any of that, because every division is making their own boards, has their own device drivers, has their own goofy stuff, who knows what, and they need to have an individual kernel. So they come to us and pay us money and we make one for them. But it's not a part of SLIM itself, and neither is the bootloader. So to get SLIM to work, we're assuming that you have the bootloader there and a kernel there that is willing to boot a glibc or uclibc-based system. So those are the prerequisites. We've also changed the compiler packages, because dpackage can't build cross-compilers by itself. But it can now, because of our hacks. So actually, dpackage itself now, or the dpackage family, build package and such, you can say, build me a cross-compiler for PowerPC on my x86. We'll do that. This is really important for our customers, because they like to check their entire system into source code control, like ClearCase. So if suddenly central technology goes away, they can rebuild their entire system from nothing. So they want to be able to build their compilers from scratch. So we had to hack on the system to make a three-stage build possible.
Did you try that change source package?
Yeah, tool change sources is actually what it is, but it wasn't ready.
Right, I see.
Yeah, but now it is definitely there, and we I'll talk more about the compilers in a bit. All right, those are the major changes of what makes SLIM different. So it's still a Debian system in the sense that we're using the infrastructure. The dpackage infrastructure and how apt-get works and how the mirroring system works, this is all a part of the SLIM system. It's just we're defining a different basic system, and that's the big difference. Excuse me, I had a cold last week and it's still making life hard. The other nifty thing about SLIM is the installer and how it works. The installer works by, okay, let me start over. The dpackage, when you're installing packages, the dpackage system has to run stuff on the target. And that makes installation into an NFS area, for instance, pretty tough, because you can't install there and run it there if it's a different architecture, ARM, that you're trying to make a root file system for. So the dpackage installation itself actually needs to run on the target, right? So we've taken a system from FreeBSD, which is called the Dragonfly installer, and we've acted a little and made it work with dpackage and dev bootstrap. So I'm going to demonstrate the installer today, but to give you some details about it, first off, the backend, what runs on the target is written in Lua and in C, and so you can extend it pretty easily, because Lua is a pretty easy language to understand. You can extend it with C modules as well. It's BSD licensed, so no problems there. And it's object-oriented, which is nice and buzzwordy. So the host target principle, the idea is that to build your root file system in the first place, you're building it physically on your host. I mean, that's where the file system is living at the moment, physically. And then you start the front end on the host and you start the back end on the target. And when the target boots, it mounts that file system from your host, which is, well, first it mounts a SLIM file system, a file system we have ready for you for doing the installer. It mounts that, and then you tell it what you want in your root file system, and it builds a new one. Right there, and so the back end, which is running on the target, and the Lua scripts are running the dpackage install package scripts and such, and then sending to the front end commands like show this window and ask this question and get the answer. So all the real work is happening on the target, but the front end is there to make life easier for the developer. Right now, we have an incurses based front end and a Qt one. Should be coming sometime in the future. And it uses simple TCP/IP to accomplish this. Some of the features, not all of them necessarily work right now, but some of the features that are either working or in progress. Hardware discovery, you can do partitioning of an MTD disk or the hard disk, or you can define what your partitions are going to be, make images with the installer, and it bootstraps the base system. It's done over the network with either HTTP or FTP. We're going to do it today here. All of these CDs is basically the basic SLIND system, and you host it on your host computer with Apache, and then the target sucks it up. And then actually, you can also use the installer to configure the running system, so you can just connect in the same way you did to install the system, use its front end, and you can manage your users there, you can make upgrades happen, all of this through this front end that runs on the host.
Which kind of hardware is supported at this time?
I'll go to that next. I'm almost there. I'll be there soon.
Okay.
So, on the target, we have Debian packages. Apt is installed and dpackage is installed on the target. So, and apt sources list, and you can just point your apt to different places and it'll suck down the new versions that you have available. It works just like you would hope with Debian, just happy, and you tell it install and it does. So as is mentioned here, the D package that runs on both of them had to be changed to support uclibc stuff, and you guys are all totally familiar with D package, so I'm not going to say anything else about that. But it's there and it runs on the target and makes life a lot easier that way. The SLIND base is about 15 or 20 packages, including BusyBox and Sys5 init, or core utils, and then your util Linux, your net tools, and then just basic libraries. As I said in the beginning, we can choose our variants. It can be BusyBox or uclibc or libc based. C++ is supported as well. Also in uclibc, we've got libstdc++ compiled and running. So we've got a pretty full-featured system for most of the targets. A lot of my customers are using C++ nowadays, so we had to make sure that C++ is there and runnable, which is not an easy task, especially with uclibc, that was hard stuff. And so if you use a BusyBox and uclibc system, then you're definitely way less than 10 megabytes just for the core system, which is nice. Oops. The host development environment, right now it's 3.4.4, and this is a three-stage bootstrapping done with dpackage for all of the supported architectures. So it's one source package from Debian that we act. And the same source is used to build all the different architectures. And so it's nice and clean and packaged that way. We support currently the PowerPC and the ARM and x86, namely i386. GCC is available for both libc and uclibc, obviously. We have the packages available themselves, already pre-compiled. You guys don't have to do any of that messy stuff. And it's going to be on the CD that you can take with you today. And like I mentioned, build all architectures from the same source, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all that I've already said. And 4.0.1 GCC is in the works, not as easy, or maybe easier later, who knows. They're working on it, they're hacking it. We'll see what happens in a couple months. We use dpackage cross to do the cross compiling, obviously. Debian and all. So essentially all you have to do is just use dpackage, build package, and we had to hack that a little to make it aware of the microlibc architecture. It works within fake root. And what you have to be aware of is that a lot of packages, their rules files are not ready for cross-compiling. So for most of the packages that we haven't ported yet, we still need to go into the rules file and put some for the configure line, we have to say host and target, chost and ctarget and whatnot, so that configure knows that it's going to be cross-compiling. Most of the packages, as far as I know, don't have that information. So most of the rules files, I mean. So here are the boards that were supported at the time that I wrote these slides. So we have three PowerPC boards that we've already got it running on. It runs on the JREX from Contron, which is an evaluation board. This is a PowerPC that I'm running today, which is called a ColdBox, I believe, MPC, I don't remember which one. And then for the ARM, it runs on the Nokia 770, and we made it run on the iPad as well, just for kicks. It didn't do anything, it just booted and had a shell, but it was fun. Nice to see you, that's all. That's what's great about embedded development, is you're happy even when you just get the boot and see a shell. And like, yeah! I'm done, I'm going home. So, on the CD today, what you can take with you, we've got the tool chains ready to go for PowerPC and ARM and x86. It includes, that's the Debian packages. The sources are there too. All the sources are on that CD of what we've changed, so if anybody's interested to look deeply into it, they can. But as for Debian packages, you can actually take that SLIN CD and make your host a SLIN development host. Since the package has been changed so much, you need to do this in a chroot area. Don't just install that on your normal Debian. It will make your normal Debian very, very angry. just don't. And actually, it works here too. I'm running Gentoo, like I said, but I've got a chroot Debian area that's ready to go to build any other packages I need. It contains the tool chains, and it contains the basic libraries with glibc or uclibc, including C++. All those Debian packages are there with the sources. The D package, hacked D package, is there, and the SLIND installer beta is also there. For the target, we've got the runtime environments for the targets. We've got a pre-made root file system for each target. This is the SLIND installer file system, which contains all the things you need to use SLIND on the target first time. It contains also the SLIND installer itself and the dpackage stuff that you need to have a running target system. A little segue real fast. I've got two kinds of CDs here. One is our official release called Suffolk, and the other one was a slightly improperly printed CD. So the ones that are in the shiny cases is the good one. And you can take them. Once we run out of them, you can take the other one, which has got a couple bugs that I just have to explain. namely the bug is that you can only use one address. You have to write the DHCP address that you're giving to the target. It's a fixed one. It's 192.168.1.3. Nothing else will work. That's it. But that's not that big of a deal. You can do that. I'll explain more about that in a bit. But not that many people here, so I think that if anybody's interested, they can take the good one and you're set. So, quickly about the SLIND development process. We've got three or four people working on SLIND, and mostly in St. Petersburg. They're modeling it on the Debian release management so that there's stable testing and unstable releases. We have maintainers for each package. We are open to have other people submit packages and be maintainers. We do not have any public infrastructure available yet that's in the works. So we will have a SLIND website and SLIND mirror system up sooner or later after we get all the IP stuff handled and permission to do that and such. You know how corporations are, so gotta sign a lot of forms. And then we're going to also have a bug tracking system available based, as far as I know, it'll be just like the Debian bug tracking system, text-based only and mail only and such. not Bugzilla, right? So we're basing most of it on Debian. The reason is because Vartan, the main hacker on this, is a Debian maintainer, is really familiar with it, and so we let him run with it. He can do that. It's great. Cool. I'm not going to conclude yet because I'm going to do the demo. So. Let's see, is my thing mounted there? Okay. What is that? That's a fake one. That was just a day of confusion. I put something into MTCD-ROM. Okay, this is the CD-ROM. It's got the Slend installer source, as you see, and stuff for the host and target. Some contrib stuff for pbuilder. There's some examples about pbuilder and apt-get in the contrib directory. You can just look at that on your own. There's the README, which contains some information and some information that's incorrect. In the document, in the document directory, there's plenty of information about how we hacked the toolchains and what we had to do to make them dpackage buildable. But we're going to work on how to install Slend off of that somewhere there. So I've got a directory, ppc rootfs, where I'm going to be unpacking the Slend rootfs. That's it. CD-ROM drive is slow. There you are. All right, so we have three major directories in there. For the target, that's ARM, i386, and PowerPC. This is where we will find the NFS root file system that we use to begin the system. And so as I do all this as root, we're working on it so that it will work in fake root, but that's kind of a hassle and hard to make happen. So at the moment, we're just working everything as root. All right, so we extract that. So this is just a basic system that's got what you need to run. I mean, it's got BusyBox on it. It's, as far as I remember, UC libc based. And it's got enough stuff so that dpackage and the build package and the install package stuff will work.
Can you say a little bit about what that board is that you're going to be installing on this?
Evaluation board that doesn't do anything. It really does. I mean, it's called a cold box. It's got you know, Ethernet, serial. It's got a bunch of other just stuff you can connect to. Nothing significant. It's just there to play with Linux, and that's the entire
How much
point.
Memory, for example?
Excuse me?
How much memory, for example?
I have to remember that. Let's see. You know, Vartan didn't tell me. He just brought it to me and said, use that. So,
but
I don't remember. I think it's like, I think it's only about 16 megabytes.
Okay.
Very big. Right. Sorry.
But you have you can know what's inside with the system.
Yeah, when we boot into it then we'll find out for sure. Or we can find out. Alright. So we see that it just unpacked the system so that it's ready to run the installer. Alright. I've got to export this with NFS. I've already got that ready. I'm going to export it to 1.3. The system I'm using is officially ready for any other address, but I'm going to do what's safe. I know that this one works, so. So let's start NFS. All right. We also have to obviously have DHCP. And this is simplest you could possibly make is we've got a subnet and it only gives that one address out. All right, we're going to configure my Ethernet address to be the other part of that, will just be that. And it's good. All right. And then I need to. I've got the CD mounted on MNT CD-ROM. The CD is where the Debian packages themselves are available under the main and the disks and pool and all that directory, right? So that's got to be available through the Apache server. So I'm going to mount that into my Apache server directory with mount bind. So now if we look in there, we'll find all the Debian stuff. And I need to start the Apache server. Okay. Yep, we're good. So, who cares? So essentially, once again, that means we have to have an NFS server running that's going to host serve the root file system for booting. We've got to have the DHCP server running so that it gets an address, and we've got to have Apache running somewhere so that it can download the packages. It's also possible to use a proxy. We can set up a proxy here to forward it to somewhere else to get the packages. Slend is ready for all that. Please.
So you say the root file system is now actually on NFS?
Yep.
It means the kernel you're going to use will need to have root NFS support?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct. The kernel actually needs to have, well, depends on your model. Probably the best way is to have an NFS based so that kernel can handle NFS mounting of root. Also, the kernel needs to be able to handle loop devices to get maximal benefit. Unfortunately, they flashed the wrong kernel on here, and it doesn't have the loop, but it works anyway. Just you have to press cancel and ignore one error. I'll show you that in a few minutes. All right, let's see. So, where am I? Yes, fine. Yes. Let's get Minicom up. Okay, here I am in U-boot. Maybe you guys are familiar with this. Just to keep, to give you a quick idea of what we've got, we set essentially the NFS arguments. And we set stuff about how to add the IP address here. This is all ready to go for my system. This is what I mean with Slend. You have to have the U-boot ready to go, and you have to, or bootloader, whatever, and you have to have the kernel ready to go to do Slend.
Is this through a serial cable, or?
Yeah, I'm just over serial here. Okay, so I've got basically everything set up. You've got to have your server IP address known, and that's him. And that's where the NFS root is living. You've got to have the path to the NFS root known, and then you're pretty much ready to go. So we're going to run flash underscore NFS, and it will not work. Haha, I forgot one step, sorry. The only problem we have is the baud rate. The baud rate in the file system where I am now is not the correct baud rate for the system I'm using. So this is where I am here is the root file system I'm serving over NFS, right? And in the init tab, it's got the wrong baud rate for XTTY. So I just need to change that. Oops. 5200. And do this again. Okay, so run flash NFS. Everything's the same on the target, just except for now mounted a corrected VPC, rootfs. Okay, it's happy. Good. So on the target, you don't log in as roo, you log in as root. And it doesn't have a password yet. This is just the PPC system, the NFS-based system. All right, then. And over here, now what I'm going to do is prepare the Slend installer utility. First, we've got to unpack it. That's in DCROM Slend installer source. Excuse me?
Nice material version of it.
Okay, and to get the Slend installer going, to get the Slend installer going, first you do make. You have to do it in this order, please, because otherwise the make files will be borked. So first just call make. It will prepare additional make files and make sure the environment's right. When that's ready, sometime. When that's ready, you do make front end. And this is going to make our front end for the installer. Okay. And so if we go into the front end's directory, on source, front ends in curses, here we have the DFUI curses. Now, when you start, you have to say options dot, no, not options, booted from install media is true. This is Lua. It's like that. Don't ask me why. This is where we have one mistake on the documentation that's on the CD-ROM. The documentation on the CD-ROM says type options here. If you do that, it won't work right. So it's just singular option. All right. And you see, I pressed enter, and it says it's waiting for the backend. All right, now I'm going to use the backend, and that is under user share, the backend Lua, right? And there's main.lua. And the command you need here is minus R. This is going to be what's known as a rendezvous point. 1.1 runs on port 9999. Is that visible there? Just barely? Move it up a little. Okay. So, now the backend is running, and it says a lot of blah, blah, blah. And why isn't it updating here?
It's running. That's great. One moment.
What am I missing here? Let's see. It's live. Lucky us. What am I missing? One moment, let me think a second. I did this 5 times yesterday in the hotel. Perfect.
Life, huh?
So, am I missing something? Don't care. Pretty sure I just did it backwards. Of course, it's here that you say option.booted. It's true. And it is here that we say what the rendezvous point is. It's going to work this time. At least it works. Alright. Now, not everything in these menus works, so if you just go clicking around and punching buttons, sooner or later it'll say it's broken. It'll give you a very long screen of broken messages, so follow along. We're going to first proceed. Since they're in Russia, they give us the option to install in Russian. I'm not doing that. Now, we're going to choose our host name. This is Flu. Foo at slidrocks.org. Okay. The reason you select your name or you use this host name is that it will remember the configuration based on host names so that later you don't have to reconfigure everything again. You can just say it's the same host name and it'll just do the same thing it did last time. So we're going to configure ETH0. Now what you should remember is that everything is really happening on the target down there, and it's just sending commands up to my host, telling my host display this and ask that. Okay, so we're configuring ETH0. That's the target's ETH0, right? All right, we'll manually configure it. Its address is already correct. You can set all that stuff in case you have a more complicated situation. And here we have the choice. We can either install or make a new root file system, is what this means. We can configure the system that's already installed. There is one, so it will let me configure it, but that's kind of half broken. We can upgrade the system and set up a NetBoot server so that it can serve other systems, but I don't know how that works, so don't ask. All right, so I'm selecting install, and we see the stuff running by the target saying it's figuring out how to install everything. So you get a good warning that says be careful. And we're going to install. Now we're going to make an image virtual disk. This means that we're making a fake disk on the root file system that it's mounted. It's going to be building a root file system under MNT. And that's on my host, and we can go look at that later. All right, so now it wants me to select partitions. And this is essentially, you know, how big of a root file system does it need to be making. So let's say that it's going to be on slash, right? And MTD block 2. This is not the reality. This is what it's going to write into etc fs tab for when you actually boot. So it's not really changing MTD block 2 here. It's just getting the file system ready for the next boot, okay? The capacity, let's say it's 50 megabytes, and the file system type is ext2. Right now, only ext is supported, but later you can convert the ext2 to jffs2, either manually or using a tool. So we're set, and we go down to accept and create. And it will warn you that it needs a lot of space. You say, whatever. Whatever. So now what it's doing is it's getting the ext file system ready. So it's making an ext2 image. Right now it's just using dd to stick a bunch of zeros in there. That will be ready shortly. Now, the fact that my kernel does not have loop support means that the next step is where we will encounter a small error. What it's going to try to do is loop mount this ext2 into MNT, and then we'll be installing into MNT, right? But it will tell me that soon it will tell me that it can't do a loop mount, and that means it's just going to write directly into MNT, just like that. Okay, so now we've got the choice to choose either BusyBox or coreutils. I'm going to choose that and use kdibc. Now we set up the mirrors. Oh, yeah, that's okay. The mirror is my host. 1.1 slash dev slash, I think it's target. And let's see. So this is the loop problem. Since I don't have loop, it's just going to complain. And so we can say skip, and it will start installing into MNT. So, it's off. Now we wait. Just a few minutes, because it's a small system, right?
Just to be sure, the loopback thing, it's on the kernel on your laptop.
No, the kernel here. The kernel that's running here needs to be able to mount that loop, because it just made the little image, ext in TMP or something. And what it wants to do is mount that image in MNT and then start installing all that stuff into that mounted MNT image, right? So this kernel has to be able to do loop mounting.
Please. You can just put the WRT54?
The which?
The URL? The Linksys WRT, you know, it's a router.
Oh, yeah, that router from Siemens.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't remember what customers we have right now, actually. So we will support it if the customers pay us to.
Okay, so
this just takes a few minutes. It downloads packages, extracts the packages, and then installs the packages, and we're finished.
Yeah, also, how do you contribute back to Debian the change that you made for Slim?
Well, we made a lot of changes to dpackage, and we will contribute them. I'm not sure what the plan is. We've gotten the allowance to contribute them back now, which is why they're available on the CD. So you can see all these packages. As far as I know, the plan is to submit them as patches. I have no idea if you guys want those patches. So it just depends on how well they're accepted. But we're maintaining this publicly. So even if the patches aren't accepted into main Debian, it's still available as a separate system. And we will be building a website and such shortly. Cutting it close. It's 6 minutes, 5 minutes. it's nearly done.
How much of this depends on the processor speed of your target?
Well, it's got to do the unpacking. So with GZIP format, it's got to be good enough to unpack that. It depends on the target speed, for sure. Okay, and so now we can just configure. So the system is now there. It's not mounted, it's just installed under slash MNT on the target. Let me make a new terminal, new tab, and I'll show you where it installed itself. You go into, So this is what we booted, BBC rootfs, right? And if we look at MNT, this is the system that was just built. Okay. And what I can do, although I'm out of time, is we could edit ATC exports and export that thing I just built and reboot the target, and now it's booted off of its own system, off of the root file system it just built for itself. We can also, at this point, manually make an image, make an EXT2 image or a JFFS2 image, and flash that off the device, and it's happy. Is there anything interesting here? So here, these are the options of what do you do to configure a running system. So you can set the password, add users, install packages, or remove or update. That stuff, I'm not sure of the workability of it. I don't think it's quite ready yet. This is definitely the beta installer. At least the installer part works. So we're good. And essentially, that's it. That's what Slim does. And essentially, my talk is finished. So any other questions?
I have tried to do also a Debian install on my PDA, and I ran into problems running dpkg over NFS because of the file system locking problems. I'm wondering, did you see any of those, and how did you solve them?
I was not a part of the effort there, so I cannot answer. But if anybody has ERK, they can ask Warp now. So I don't know though.
Do you support read-only systems for Slim? Say you want to minimize writes to flash.
Theoretically, yes, but I don't know if anyone's tried it. But I know what you mean, and it should be possible.
Do you have anywhere that you can store read-write state? If you did a clean shutdown, would be stored?
We have a file system that we made that does do that, and it stores it into, especially in the RAM place. You can also use just U-boot, because U-boot has an environment area, you know? And usually the U-boot environment area is not full, and there's a Linux utility for writing directly into that area, and so you can just use that a lot of times, too. Okay. I appreciate that, please.
You talked about Gentoo. What did you do with Gentoo?
Well, this is Gentoo. My system is Gentoo. My laptop, but Slim, as you see, will run on another system without any problem. To do the actual cross-package building and such, you have to have either a Debian system complete or just one MCH root. But that's what I have here, was a CH root, it's fine. And you install that just directly from the Slim CD. Our entire basic system is there and ready to install. So, if anybody wants a copy of Slim, then please come get it. And thanks for your attention and time. Have a nice day.